Lately, I have been focused on interviews, especially for my YouTube channel, a lot more than the Music and Stuff Right to Know One podcast. But I did make a promise to some of the people who I have interviewed with to release it on the Spotify podcast whenever possible. So here it is. This is just one out of many, and I hope you like what you have to hear. Stay tuned. Good evening, everyone. This is Skinny Media, otherwise known as Mark, here to present you one of the great bands no one even talks about, but I really like, called Ludibor Lathrock. I don't, hopefully I pronounced that right.
It was terrible pronunciation. It's Llwybr Llaethog.
Llwybr Llaethog. Okay, just for everyone who's curious about Cymraeg or the Welsh language, they're definitely one of my favourites. I heard them through John Peel, and also at my library they had a CD copy of Cymraeg and Stwff.
Cymraeg, yeah, very good.
Cymraeg and Stwff.
Right, yeah.
All right, then hopefully just going to insert a few words here and there. But for starters, how do you do, John Griffiths?
No, fine, yeah, not too bad, you know, it's an autumn evening, it's not too cold, yeah, I'm fine. Mm. Got a gig tomorrow, actually, the first gig we've had in about 3 or 4 years.
So hey, that's pretty impressive. Hopefully you get to play quite a few of the songs from Cwrdd Cariad and Dub Cymru. Let's see how things turn out. And yes. I'll just like to say for everyone, for... try to be careful not to mention the band, mispronounce it. So just call us LL.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry. Don't call us LL. Just say it however you say it.
Llwybr Llaethog, because I know the band that you also worked with, Kevs. I don't know if he's available at this time. Is he busy?
He's not here. He's at the moment. But me and him are the core of the band. It's, you know, John Griffiths and Kev Sport is Llwybr Llaethog. And then we have different guest vocalists and guest musicians doing stuff with us.
Okay,
but basically, the band is us.
Just was curious for everyone. So I know you and Kev's got your start in Brynwr Ffestrog, which is like a small little village. And how did the band form? Because I know you and him were inspired by hip-hop and reggae tunes, NLPs.
Yeah, yeah. We were living in London. I moved to London in 1977 because of punk rock and everything. And we'd been in a punk band for a while. And I just had an idea of recording a rap in Welsh. It was just, it was a sort of joke idea, really. I didn't expect it to last. It was just that we had access to a recording studio and I just said, let's do it for a laugh, just to show people in Wales that the Welsh language can be used in, you know, in modern music. It doesn't have to be all acoustic guitars and harps.
I thought you'd done a very courageous thing because often we don't get to hear other languages, particularly on British radio stations or music in general. I know... to some degree, you get a few French songs here and there and Korean pop, which is not very good in my opinion, but I'm actually very happy to have heard at least one point or two in my life Welsh music, particularly from Llwybr Llaethog. And I also am familiar with Super Furry Animals and Manic Street Preachers and Corliss. But I think you lads do it the best. No offence to anyone else out there. And I will say on my end, my two favourite albums I said earlier on were Cymraeg and Stwff. And how did those ones particularly come about? Because I know Cymraeg from the album cover, it kind of shows all your old records being sent to a landfill. And it also, you know, means in English, more. What's the significance of that?
Yeah. It was just an image that I created. I've done all the covers for our albums. Stwff is Welsh slang, it's slang for like English type slang in Welsh. It just means stuff, basically. So the album stuff was just a collection of songs we had from all sorts of little different things we've been working on. We hadn't had anything out for a while, so it was just like clearing out the cupboard. Chwaneg, as you know, means more, and it was just more stuff, basically. That's it.
I guess there's a sort of tangential relation between the two, like more this, more that. So I think the song's absolutely wonderful there. And I've always noticed, particularly on your songs and your album covers, a sort of satirical influence here and there, whether it be the Criminal Justice Bill with Mourn Dub, or pollution in the environment with Chwaneg, like you said there, which I find very interesting. My favourite song on there particularly is Blino, which I think means tired, if I'm correct. I don't know if that's your most popular record, or is it Ragfarn, which was on a compilation, but I think Blino has the potential to air on like Capital FM or Heart at 6 o'clock,
right,
or 9 o'clock on Fridays.
You should be our manager then. We'll be doing a version of Blino tomorrow. I think it the original featured a poet called Kat, and a writer called Catherine David. And it was her lyrics, Tweedy Blino Mod Here. I've been tired for so long. So that's where the name for the song came from.
She's
a very talented woman.
Well, give her my kind regards, because she delivered that like a boss, as some people would say.
Well, I will. I'll tell her.
I'll
tell her. She lives around the corner. I will pass it on, Mark.
Definitely. I'll even try to do at least one or two of the lyrics there. So definitely the Ursk with the authorities under my house. My house is Jesus Christ. I can't read Cymraeg, but at least that's as far as I can attempt it, because I just find the language absolutely beautiful.
No, Diane, very good. Catherine David will be tickled when I tell her, really.
Hey, I'm very happy to hear her kind regards on that. You could send it through Twitter or Instagram and just tell her, Sut my mind in the door. That's about as much Welsh as I know, and Drun Hoffi and Shar Camry. Yes, but we'll try to.
There's a woman who lives in America who's been over here, who learned Welsh over the internet, sort of thing, and has been over here. She came around here a couple of years ago before COVID. Jordan, I can't remember where she lives now, but anyway, yeah. So yeah, you're not alone in trying to learn Welsh in America, anyway.
Oh no, not at all. Yeah, I could even be in France or even Ireland, still pick up on the language. Because I know you just done a single called Again, Again, which I interpreted as for Euro 2020 when Cambrai or Wales competed for it. Was it made in that regards?
Yeah. It was about the football Euros competition that was meant to happen in 2020, but it got postponed to this year, but it was still called 2020 because they had all the merchandise printed, I suppose.
Oh, yeah. So, well, actually, I think it's the best football anthem, the killer bass and drum sounds, more so than Sham 69's Hurry Up Harry or Hurry Up England, Come On, or you know, little Dizzy Rascal song where he does shout for the 2010 World Cup. Take my word for it. Then another song I am a great fan of is Abadaron, which was on the ending of Stuff. I don't know, because I know it's based on the river valley of Darun, but is it also based off sort of like Welsh folklore? Because almost like he was doing poetry.
No, it's a poem. It's a poem written by someone whose name is on the cover. I can't remember. It's a poem about Aberdaron, which is on the northwest coast of North Wales, and it's about getting old and wanting to buy a cottage by the sea in Aberdaron. And the vocals on it, the man doing the vocals, that's my dad.
Well, he definitely...
It was one of his favourite poems.
A very majestic type of song that is very beautifully written by spoken word and also instrumentation, because there's a lot of use of piano and high string pads. Yeah. What type of like synthesizers did you use, like a Korg or a Roland, to manipulate that?
I can't remember, you know. It was about 25 years ago. I can't remember. We just used whatever's to hand, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
so... We used to just use whatever keyboard was in the studio if we didn't have stuff. These days, you find things on computers, but I couldn't begin to tell you what the hell it was, what kind of keyboard. Sorry.
Because I was just very curious, because I actually make music myself, and I definitely like to emulate that sound. Sense of spatial aura, like you're left a little bit chilly on the outside, and the sea is coming across your skin. At least that's how I interpret it, because I can't understand the lyrics, but I can understand the mood of it. It's what I'm taking from it.
Uh-huh.
And influences for your band. I know with the hip-hop and reggae elements, out of the two names, who are the most influential? Kraftwerk or King Tubby? Or Grandmaster Flash?
King Tubby.
All right.
King Tubby.
I'll definitely get that.
Since we discovered dub music when we were very young, about 14, 15, and that's influenced everything we've done, really. Using the dub treatment, which is it's much more of a thing these days. People do, you know, remixes and that sort of thing more often. But we started off with that idea of treating music in that way, be whatever we would type of stuff we were doing. You know.
Well, it definitely gives you a very strong style of your own. In many ways, when I came to your dub sounds, it almost reminded me a little bit of what C Phil was doing. They were marketed as a shoegaze or electronic down-tempo type of group, but they use a similar sort of bass and low-down drum sounds that you'd often hear on like a old-school dub tune by Lee Scratch Perry or King Tubby. Rest in peace, Mr. Lee Scratch Perry, in case if he's listening this in heaven. John Peel. I know he was a fan of your band. How did he find out about you? Because I know he's been going, I watched Sound of the Suburbs, but I don't remember him mentioning your name on that particular episode where he goes to Cambly to see all the Welsh bands.
Right, I don't know. When was that? I'm not really sure.
Because it aired in the 90s.
We did four sessions. Yeah. Right, that's because I was in London. If he was in Wales, no, I was living in London.
Okay.
If I'd gone to Wales, I wouldn't have been there. He used to ring me up in my flat in London to ask me how to pronounce, you know, Welsh words and that before he played them. And we had four sessions with him. He was very good to us. He played pretty much everything we'd ever released. And then I did a session there with Dat Blokki and another session with another band, Sliver Taylor. So, yeah. He was good to us.
Oh, he'll surely be missed. He definitely introduced a lot of great bands that my father liked, my mother liked, as did I. If anything, he would definitely like Again, and Rakfan. Maybe not. And his, you know, typical voice, yeah, yeah. Like he's all the way from St. Edmunds. This is Lee Lightog with their new song, Again, Again. That's my impersonation of him.
Higgyain.
Okay, Higgyain, not Ugen again. Okay.
No.
Well, at least I'm getting lessons for you. How much do you charge?
Mm-hmm. Nothing, just my time.
Okay, then, just curious. I know with Super Furry Animals, who's often... I worked alongside you quite a lot. They did the album Moon. Did you produce it or happen to work with them on that particular album just so Cameron can say, this is the
big
Cameron album? No? Oh, I was just
No,
curious.
no, God, we had nothing to do with that at all. I mean, we toured with them, done gigs with them. And, I mean, we know them that, but we've remixed songs for them. We remixed about four songs, I think, off different LPs in the past.
Oh,
If there's one of, if you look on our Facebook or Twitter, there's a link to one we did of Rings Around the World with a sort of ska beat to it and a harmonium. That's worth checking out. Rings Around the World, Happy Chapel Mix.
Yeah. Actually, I have a copy of that CD at home. I haven't heard it in a long time, but they are definitely a band of their word. I really like Super Furry Animals, even though I do prefer Lollipop and Lightrog a little bit more in terms of their very style. Very much reminds me a little bit of Space, Tommy Scott, and Blur. Well, at least Blur transitioning to Gorillaz days. Don't tell the lad I said that there, but that's just my opinion of it. Did you also work with Corliss? Because I know he's got a new album called Argor.
No, never heard of him. No, I've never heard of Corliss.
Okay, man. I was just curious here and there. And for the future of Cymru music or Welsh music, what do you think will be the future of it? Hopefully not more English language songs. There's already enough of that on the top 40.
Yeah, no, the Welsh language pop music, well, it seems quite healthy. I'd like to see a bit more experimentation rather than sort of middle of the road pop. There's too much of that, I would say. But you know, I'll be 63 in a couple of weeks. I'm not the person to talk to about the latest trends, really.
And with your music particularly, is there an intention to use satire with it? I know I said earlier on, you know, with the album covers, you show pollution or police brutality. Is there a political edge, particularly to Lúdabrúd Lightog?
Well, yeah, I mean, Christ, when we started in 1985, just the fact we were singing in Welsh was a political act, you know. And the things I tend to address in the lyrics and our guest vocalists do are, yeah, stuff that affects us, you know. Stuff, yeah, you know, like wars, bad governments, you know, famine, etc.
Because I wasn't from the 1980s, but I can take and, from my... You were saying so?
No, I was just going to say with the album covers, the design, the sort of stark black and white that I've done with nearly all of them, and the sort of large white lettering, and just striking images. I mean, largely the way I design covers is to attract people's attention, because I was always drawn to an interesting record cover when I was doing records. It was better when you could design for a 12-inch, because then it's you have a larger palette. CDs are so small. And with that Juanek, I think I tried to get too much information on a small picture, maybe. Anyway, that's why I design the covers like I do.
Well, I think it's a very direct way of getting your message across. I even stole a little bit of your style with some of my album covers, particularly on my Headsmoke moniker, Crisis Mode, and the most dangerous album in the world, the most dangerous EP I use, mostly just text and a sort of a bold colour background to make the message kind of direct. Also, Mad is the best one because it also has a bit of a sort of comical touch to it as well.
I've got a picture of that cover, one of those on the wall, actually. We just bought the mixer and a friend took a picture of it. We just sprayed it pink and attached the horns to it. We were posing with it. And then the background, I just opened a shutter light and moved, of the camera, opened the shutter and just moved the lens around, not knowing what I'd got until I developed the film. So that was the background. It looks like we're flying through space. So I've always used, before computers, I used to use scissors and glue to make my own collages.
Okay, then, keeping it like a cutout sort of style. Yeah, hey, you're doing a DIY effort. That's what a lot of post-punk and new wave bands were doing a lot in the 80s. Even industrial band KMFDM even stole a little bit of your style with the sort of text, illustration text thing. You ever call the lawyers to try to sue KMFDM for stealing your style?
No, because I probably nicked the idea from someone else. You know, that style was all over the place at the time. And it probably sort of got big, you know, with punk rock, and then it was just... You
know. Hey, whatever.
No, I mean, you know, when anyone, when you're starting out with art, you use other people's influences and you put your own thing on it, you know, put your own spin on it. That's how art and culture works, seemingly.
Oh, yeah, so... take it, make something new out of it, and then they take it from them and make something new out of it. So it's almost like building blocks here and there. Like I said about the sort of art and satirical elements, I think it's very powerful what you do there with the COVID-19 pandemic. I'm sure it's been quite difficult for you and your family. You probably even had to work at, hopefully not Tesco, just to get by. Because of record sales and tours, you're not getting the revenue from that there.
We've never been able to live off our music. We've always had to have day jobs.
That's the same person that...
I run a local charity where I collect stuff that's going to landfill from companies and we sell it in a big warehouse shop. But I only work part-time. So I'm quite poor, but it means I have a decent amount of spare time. So I've been okay through this COVID thing, remarkably untouched, apart from the isolation in the initial lock.
Oh, yes. I know that's been...
I'm in a good area in Cardiff, Grangetown. It's very central, and there's lots of... I've got friends who live very close.
I'm curious about that. That being said, do you happen to, are you aware that they're going to even make going to clubs a little bit harder because the government of Wales, they imposed a vaccine passport law that Jenna. If you don't have your card, you can't come into the clubs. I know you're going to perform at a venue very soon.
Yeah, I think it's only with bigger venues, but it seems to be a bit of a grey thing at the moment. I've actually got a COVID passport to prove I've had it. It's just a bit of paper with a barcode on that says I've had two jabs. I think it's only for big things at the moment. I'm not sure how it's actually going to pan out because it's only just coming to force and they're struggling to make sense out of it. You know, if you need it in a pub gig, I think it'll only be for bigger things. But that's the least of my worries at the moment, to be honest with you.
All right, then. Just wanted to ask because I know revenue for a lot of musicians has been quite tight. A friend of mine, Raoul Reynolds, he enters Shikari. He's the lead frontman of that alternative rock group in Shikari. He said that, you know, instead of making music, he mostly just has been focusing on writing essays and literature and selling his books just to get on by. So it has hit hard for everyone out there, and we wish the best for you and your family if they're getting all right there. You could even do a remix album called John and Mark United in regards to advice for young musicians trying to get ahead in the industry, whether you're Welsh or English or Scottish or Irish. What's your advice?
Christ, I wouldn't know. I'm not really the person to ask. You should be asking a successful and wealthy musician. I don't know. I mean, the reason this band's been going for nearly 40 years is because we really wanted to do it. You know, we just, no matter what obstacles were in our way, we were determined to just keep making music and finding ways of releasing it. And basically, that's what you got to do.
Give Kev's and also Catherine David, my kind regards. And
Catherine
David. Elun Gretas as my regards as well. Yeah. And till then, I will say the word for goodbye in Cymru. What is it?
Nos da.
Nos da.